Hello everybody, welcome to Hope Singapore. Either you are watching us in Singapore or anywhere around the world, I want to let you know that we are so privileged, we are so happy to have you watching this broadcast together with us. Well, last Monday was my birthday. I really want to thank God for so many of you who write to me extremely kind messages. Some of you bought me food, some of you text me. I want to let you know that I have truly experienced the love of God through each and every one of you. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so very much. Well, if you are new with us, I want to let you know that more than just keeping in contact with you on the online platform, we really want to be able to connect with each and every one of you. So if you are new, can you do me this big favor? Would you please type the word new, N-E-W, in the chat group? And our online ministers would really love to connect with you, get to know you, and even pray a prayer of blessing over each and every one of you. You are important to God, and you are important to us. Praise God. To say that the year 2020 is a rather unusual year would be an understatement of the century. 2020 would forever be remembered for the global pandemic that we are all going through right now. You know, in the beginning of this year, in January, I shared with us that the focus that God has given to us is we have won. We have won. Now, some 9 months into the year 2020, amidst all these challenges, can we still truly say that we have won? One, in the midst of all the difficulties that we face in our daily lives, in our studies, in our work, in the way we travel, in the way we do holiday, even in the way we do church, can we still truly say that we have won? Well, this weekend, we're going to kickstart a new three-part series. It's going to be the last series for this entire year. The series is entitled Holy Spirit, the enabler of our victory. This was our original plan. We're supposed to do it in three parts. First part, we're going to look at when we need wisdom. Second part, when we need power. Last part, when we need hope. You know, in the first week, as I've said just now, we're supposed to look at how the Holy Spirit will grant us wisdom and help us to live victoriously. After I finished preparing the whole sermon, full script and all, I felt that God wanted me to preach an old sermon. And just that you know, this doesn't happen to me often. I don't particularly enjoy preparing a whole sermon and then not preach it. But I just sense God's leading so clearly, and I want to be able to speak a word in season to each and every one of us. So this is how this whole series is going to be playing out. Holy Spirit, the enabler of our victory. First part, instead of looking at when we need wisdom, we're going to look at when we need to live our life anew. For part two, when we need power. Last part, when we need hope. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to come and to minister to each and every one of us. We need your touch. We need your presence in each and every one of our lives. Be with us and speak your rhema words, not into our head, but straight into the deepest recesses of each and every one of our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen. You may have heard it said before, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. You may have heard this saying or seen this saying on things like posters, keychains, t-shirts, caps, mugs, and even on car plates, not in Singapore, but in countries like US and Africa. While this saying is true, but it is incomplete. Why? Because the fact of the matter is that Christians are more than just forgiven sinners. God has so much more in store for each and every one of us. In Christ, we have won. In Christ, we're able to live our life anew, afresh. In Christ, we can live victoriously in Him. So this day, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through to 13. But before we look at that chunk of scripture, allow me to give you the context from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 7. So you are able to catch the Apostle Paul's train of thought, how it landed here in Romans chapter 8. But in Romans chapter 1 through to 3, like a lawyer, Paul was persuasively arguing for man's universal need of a savior. The gospel message is needed for everyone. Man or woman, boy or girl, rich or poor, Singaporean or otherwise, the Bible tells us in no unclear terms that all of us have sinned and we have fallen short of the perfect standard of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Verse 24, that's the good news. Verse 23, the bad news. Verse 24, the good news. "And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." So Paul says that we have all sinned, and the only way we can all be justified freely is through the grace of God, because God sent Jesus to die on the cross for each and every one of our sin. Again, while this is crucial, it is incomplete. That's why Paul continues to write. For example, in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, besides just having this salvation, which is crucial, the Bible tells us that God has also given us His unwavering eternal hope. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore," Paul wrote, "since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ, through whom," verse 2, "we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." And then this is the cool part. "And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Not only are we saved, God has given us this unwavering eternal hope, and we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. And then in chapter 8, the passage that we're going to look at for today, it tells us about how through the Spirit of God, God enabled us to live our lives anew in Him. How through the Spirit of God, we can all live victoriously in Christ. In Christ, we have won. So the title for today's sermon is "When We Need to Live Anew." We're going to look at how the Holy Spirit helps us to live our lives anew, afresh, victoriously in Him. Three things from these 13 verses. The first thing we can learn from this passage, number one, is that the Spirit sets me free. The Spirit sets me free. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2. The first word that appears here is the word "therefore." So what Paul is saying is this: what I'm going to write after this word "therefore" is but a continuation of what I have been writing in the previous segment. In the previous segment, Paul wrote about how Jesus has set us free from our sin. Therefore, in the light that we are forgiven sinners, in that light, the Bible says, there is now no condemnation. The Spirit sets us free from condemnation. Not what the Bible says, there is now. Not there is the past, the day when you receive Christ. Not there is going to be a day in the future. The Bible says, there is now, right here, right now, as you're listening to me right now. Whoever you are, wherever you may be, whatever situation you may be going through right now, God is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. There is now no condemnation. Let's look at verse 2. "Because," why is there no condemnation? "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of God has set us free from the law of sin and death. We no longer have to live with a guilty conscience. Let's look at verse 3 and verse 4. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do. The law is good. The law is right. The law tells us what is good and what is right to do. But it was powerless in our lives. Why? Because it was weakened by the flesh. We know what we ought to do, but we cannot do it. The things that we ought to do, we don't do. The things that we ought not to do, that we keep on doing. The Bible tells us. And the Bible says that God helped us by sending His own Son. This is in verse 3. In the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Let's look at verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Because we now need not live according to the flesh, but we can now live according to the Spirit. So the Spirit sets us free from condemnation, and the Spirit sets us free to live our life anew in Him. We no longer have to live according to the flesh. We can now live according to the Spirit. You know, brothers and sisters and friends, and for those of you who are tuning in, you may be a Christ follower already. These are such fundamental and important truths that we all need to know. And it is my deepest heartfelt prayer that this would become a revelation to many of us who is watching this broadcast right here, right now. Perhaps some of us, even though you are already a Christ follower, the truth about you is that you still live with a guilty conscience in your heart. Even though you recognize you're wrong, you repented, but yet you still live with a guilty conscience. Perhaps some of you have said really hurtful words to the people in your life. It could be your spouse, it could be your children, it could be your parents. It could be even be some of these people that God has given to us in our church. And we've said some of these really hurtful words. We felt bad about it, we repented, but yet we still feel guilty. Some of you has done some really hurtful acts in the fits of our anger, in the fits of our losing of our self-control. We did some of these really hurtful acts to our loved ones. Or perhaps even some of you, you're watching this broadcast right now. The truth about you is that you have even undergone an abortion before. I'm not trying to make this thing worse than what it already is. But the fact of the matter, biblically speaking, abortion is murder. We take away some life. And you have gone through this whole procedure of an abortion. You felt bad about it. You repented. And now you're living with this guilt in your heart. You know, when I was a young believer, if I could describe my life, there's this cycle that I keep going through in my life. For example, I've done many wrong things in my life, more often than I like to admit. I come before the Lord. I say, God, I'm really sorry. I repent. And then after I repented, my conscience will be okay for a little while. But as the day goes by, it's either the devil or the weakness in my mind. It just caused me to be weakened. And then I'll feel so guilty about what I've done. And then I'll go back to God one more time. Because I felt that because I wasn't sincere enough in my repentance. And as a result, God has not really forgiven me. So I went back to God and I told God, God, look, God, I am really sorry. Maybe in the past, I was just sorry. But now, God, I am really sorry. So after saying that, praying that, I felt okay for a little while, some relief for a few days. Then after a little while, it comes back again. Either it is through the evil spirit or through the weakness of my own understanding. I begin to feel guilty again. Then I will cycle back to God and I say, God, look, God, I am really, really sorry. Then I will even conjure some kind of action to tell God that I'm really sorry because I don't feel that God has really forgiven me as yet. I will even bow down. Sometimes I will even beat my chest. I say, God, I am really, 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 really sorry. So I go through this cycle again and again and again and again. You see, each time I was trying to do something more to show God that I am really sorry. Really sorry. So that God would forgive me. But the truth is this. The truth is that the Spirit has set me free from condemnation because of what Jesus had done on the cross for me. It's not about me trying harder to make right my wrong. It is all about what Jesus had done on the cross for me. And as a result, through the Holy Spirit, I've been set free from condemnation. And I pray that this will be a revelation for many of you who are watching this broadcast right now. Because I sense in my heart that there are many of us who call ourselves Christ followers, but we don't live with this freedom that comes through the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we don't live our life anew. We don't live our life victoriously as God has purpose for each and every one of us. God wants to set you free from condemnation. If you have repented, you must understand this. God has forgiven you. You have been set free. Either you feel forgiven or not, it's not the point. The fact of the matter is that God has already forgiven you. In John chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, so if the Son, if Jesus has set you free, you will be free indeed. So first thing, we got to know how the Holy Spirit helped us to live victoriously. Number one, the Spirit set us free. Free from condemnation, free to live our life anew in Him. That's number one. The second thing we can learn from this passage, number two, is that the Spirit guides me. The Spirit guides me. Now let's look at verse 5 through to verse 8. Let's look at verse 5. The Bible says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those, comparison, who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So we have a choice. You see, the Spirit longs to lead us, but we have a choice. We can either choose to live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. Let's look at verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The Spirit longs to guide us, but we have a choice. We can either choose to live in accordance to our flesh, the natural way, our way, my way, your way, or we can live according to God's way, the Spirit's way. When we choose to live in accordance to our own way, the natural way, the Bible tells us that it will lead to eventual death. But if we were to live according to the Spirit's way, it will lead to life. It will lead to peace. Praise God. It will lead to life that is truly life. You know, brothers and sisters, even as we go through this difficult season in human history, allow me to give you some example how we can continue to choose the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can live life that is truly life, a life that brings about life, a life that brings about peace rather than death. For example, in the present climate, it is easy and natural to live a life of complaint. We can complain about many things. Our life is so restrictive. Young people, we can complain. Man, now so difficult to even go out to watch a movie. So many challenges, so many restrictions, so many rules. Can only meet in this way, that way. For those of us who are working, we can complain that the economy is bad. I may end up losing my job, or at best, I may have to undergo a pay cut. That's the natural and easy way to live. The way of the flesh, complain. Or we can live in accordance to the Spirit's way. We can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we are able to live in accordance to the Spirit's way. Instead of complaining, we can learn to give thanks. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we have a heart of gratitude. We can give thanks. We give thanks even though the times are tough. I'm not alone. God has given me my life group. My life group member, they are with me. Hope is better together. We encourage one another. God and the life group, they are on my side. Even though time is tough, I learn to give thanks. At least I still have food on my plate, a shirt on my back, a roof over my head. In times as such, through the Holy Spirit guidance, I learn to give thanks. In the final analysis, God is still with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will birth these Rhema words into our hearts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, the Bible says, rejoice always, always. Not only when things are good, not only when we have a lot of freedom, not only when we can gather together as a church, worship in thousands, six of thousands, tens of thousands. The Bible says, rejoice always, even when we're alone, even when life is restrictive, even when the economy is bad, rejoice always. Pray, verse 17, continually. Instead of complaining consistently, let's pray continually. Talk to God. Converse with Him. Be aware of His presence. Pray continually. The Bible says, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Wow. Now, know what the Bible didn't say. The Bible didn't say give thanks for all circumstances. The Bible didn't say, oh, give thanks for the pandemic. Praise God. So many people die. Millions of people die. Praise God. Millions of people got infected. Praise God. The economy is bad. No, the Bible didn't say give thanks for all circumstances. The Bible said give thanks in all circumstances, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of difficulties. God is saying through the Holy Spirit, we learn to give thanks for. Why are we able to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances? Why? Because we are crazy? Because Christians have the cheat code that can get us out of this pandemic? Because life is easy for Christians? We're not like the rest of the people? No. We're able to do all these things because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. You see, nothing can happen in our world. Nothing can happen in your life without God allowing it to happen. God didn't create the pandemic. God didn't make the economy bad. But God allowed these things to happen. So what does it mean? It means that God is still sovereign. If God has allowed it to happen, what that means is that God is still in control. Amen. So what that means is that we can still continue to give thanks. So instead of complaining, choose the Spirit's way. Choose to give thanks. In the present climate, the natural way to live is to live in fear. Fear of the uncertain future, fear of the unknown. That is the natural way to respond, the fleshly way to respond. But because we are people of God, we have the Spirit guidance. Instead of fear, we choose trust. We choose trust. I'd like to finish this verse to encourage all of us. Psalm 112, verse 7. They, the Bible says, they, referring to the righteous people, referring to the people of God, referring to those of us who are watching this broadcast right now. You already have a relationship with God. The Bible says, they, you will have no fear of bad news. Your hearts are steadfast. Why? Because you learn to trust in the Lord. The Spirit's way. Instead of fear, the fleshly way, we choose the Spirit guidance way. Trust. In the present climate, the natural way is one of self-centeredness. Naturally speaking, the fleshly way, we choose self-centeredness. We live in a dog-eat-dog world. In situations as such, it is every man for himself. So we choose self-centeredness. That's the natural way. But the Spirit's way, the Spirit guidance way, is the way of generosity. Instead of self-centeredness, we choose generosity. Instead of self-centeredness, we choose to continue to do what is right. Instead of self-centeredness, we continue to choose to be faithful with our tie to God. Now, at this juncture, I really want to tell you, I'm so proud of our church here in Singapore. You know, for the first 8 months of this year, the year 2020, our tithe and offering collection is the same amount as that we collected in the year 2019, from January to August. What that tells me is that we continue to live a life of faith. We continue to live a life of trust in God. Now, don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. The thing that I'm thankful for is not the money, it's not the numbers. It's what the number represents. It represents that we are a people of faith, we are a people of trust. Even though times are tough, we still learn to honor God. We trust God. And I'm so proud of us, because this pandemic will one day be gone. But the character, the fortitude, the person we become as a result of going through this pandemic in a faith-filled way, in trust in God, in generosity, when we come out of this pandemic, friends, we're going to come out stronger together. I am so proud of each and every one of us. We continue to choose the Spirit guidance. Praise God. And since we live by the Spirit, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we have the Spirit of God living in us, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. Now, how do we do that? Let me give you two simple ways. Just two simple, very simple, practical ways. Number one, I want to encourage you to pray in the Spirit on a regular basis. Pray in the Spirit. I'm not saying that you have to pray out loud. You got to kind of pray out loud and you begin to kind of like disturb the people around you. But you can always pray in the Spirit beneath your breath. When you're watching this broadcast right now, either you're working from home, either you're working in the office, either you're walking to go and buy a grocery or go through the daily affairs of your life, going to school, you pray beneath your breath. Your breath. You pray in the Spirit. Always pray in the Spirit. First thing, pray in the Spirit. Number two, I want to encourage you to have a consistent awareness, a constant communion with the Holy Spirit. Always be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. The Holy Spirit is nearer than you imagine. Always be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are never, ever alone. The Holy Spirit longs to guide you more than you long to be guided. When we do that, we learn to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, then we can live our life anew. Then we can live victoriously in Christ. That's the second thing. The Holy Spirit guides us. Lastly, the Spirit empowers us. We're speaking about how we can live our life anew in Him. The first thing, the Spirit guides us. The first thing, the Holy Spirit sets me free. Number two, the Spirit guides me. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers me. Let's look at verse 9, shall we? Paul was writing, addressing the people in the Corinthian church. He said, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit." So here he reminded the people, hey people, people of God, you are not called to live in accordance to the flesh. You are called to live in accordance to the spirit. He reminded the people. Let's look at the second part of verse 9. Paul wrote, "And if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." In other words, if you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. If you are watching this broadcast right now, you have come to a place where you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You have come to a place when you know that you can never be good enough for God because we are all sinful people. You have come to a place where you receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for you. If that is true of you, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You must understand that. The Bible says it in no uncertain terms. And in verse 11, Paul continued to describe the works of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 11. The Bible says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." So Paul says that this Spirit that's living in you is a powerful Spirit. It's the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. And this Spirit lives in you. And this Spirit longs to empower you. This Spirit longs to empower you to live victoriously. In verse 12, let's look at verse 12. This is how Paul conclude this point. He said, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live accordance to it. We have an obligation to the Spirit." So what Paul is saying is this: since the Spirit has set us free, since the Spirit longs to guide us, since the Spirit empowers us, he is saying that we have no excuse why we are not able to live victoriously in Him. We have an obligation. There is simply no excuse why we cannot live a victorious life, because God has done everything through the Holy Spirit to give to His children so that everyone of His children can now live our life anew, afresh. We can now all live victoriously in Him. That's what the Bible is saying. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter from the traffic police. Apparently, I beat a red light and it was captured on camera. I was fined a total of 400 Singapore dollars and 12 demerit points was given to me. This is the first time I have been fined by the traffic police and have demerit point given to me since I passed my driving back in 1986. My pristine, clean record has now been marred, has now been polluted. This was a few weeks ago. Then last week, I received yet another letter from the traffic police. The traffic police invites me to go for a safe driving course. He says that if I were to go to a safe driving course, which consists of 3.5 hours of theory and 1 hour of practical, if I pass this safe driving course, they will deduct 4 demerit points away from me. So as I was reading this condition, they said that if you go for this driving course, we will provide a car for you for your driving test. So when he said that, I immediately remember how driving lessons was all about back in the 80s. You know, in the 80s, when we learned driving, one of the toughest part of the driving lessons would be the part of the parallel parking. See, those days, we don't have automatic gear. We drive with stick. We have to control the clutch and everything. And there's no power steering. So in order to drive, man, it was really tough. We got to control, change the gear, reverse forward, and we got to really turn really hard because there was no power steering. So the government said that if you go for this course, we're going to provide a car for you. So I shudder to imagine if they were to give me a car that has no power steering. So I'm still considering whether I want to sign up for this course or not to afford the merit point taken away from my record. Because I'm so used to driving with power steering nowadays, I don't want to go back to the old days. And this is true not only in terms of driving, this is also true when it comes to my spiritual life. See, right now, because I'm a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit guides me. The Holy Spirit sets me free. The Holy Spirit empowers me, enables me to live my life anew, afresh in Him. The Holy Spirit enables me to live victoriously in Christ. I have won. I don't go back to my old life where I have to depend on myself to do what is right, to try to gain victory for myself. The things that I didn't want to do, I kept on doing. The things I should do, I wasn't able to do. But right now, I can live a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, about 4 or 5 years ago, our church did a video about power steering and how we use power steering to tell us about this Holy Spirit that longs to empower each and every one of us to live a victorious life in Christ. Today, I'd like to show you that video once again. Let's watch the video together. I'm sure all of us will agree with this. To travel far from one place to another, we take some kind of a vehicle. Some of us take the public transport, but some of us drive. But whether you drive or not, if you're observant enough, you realize that sometimes driving can be quite tiring, especially after a long day of work. To make life easier for drivers, do you know that most cars have this system called power steering? Power steering is so common that we might not even know it exists. Basically, it helps drivers by augmenting the steering effort of the steering wheel. In other words, the driver can provide less physical effort to turn the wheels, especially when a vehicle is moving slowly and when a vehicle is parked. It's a practical necessity because without power steering, it's tough to drive, especially if you're not strong enough or if you're driving a heavy vehicle. Interesting, isn't it? How forces work together without us even taking notice. This is especially true when you're driving on a long, straight journey. When we are traveling straight on an expressway, we actually won't feel its power. But it is when we decide to change direction, then we can experience the full power that turns the whole vehicle. Sometimes the way we live is like this long drive on the road. We might think that it is totally impossible to change the course of this journey, failing to realize that the Holy Spirit is like the power steering, ready to assist us to make a turn. Unless we make a decision to turn, we will never experience the full steering power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Indeed, to live victoriously, we need the Spirit's empowerment. We need the Spirit guidance. We need the Spirit to set us free. There are some of you here. Now listen, this is important. I don't want to just come and just listen to a broadcast. I believe God wants to minister to you. Some of you here, you live under a cloud of continual condemnation in your life. You may have done something really bad in the past. Hurtful words, action, adultery, sleep around, abortion. You've done some of these things and you felt bad about it. You have repented before God and you just feel that God didn't forgive you. But the fact of the matter is that if we have really repented from our hearts, the Lord forgive us. Whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. There's some of you in this situation. Now I'd like to invite all of you, just close your eyes, to just bow your heads. Allow Pastor to pray for you. I want to bless you. I want to pray that God will give you this revelation today, that you no longer have to live under condemnation. Father, I just pray right now, in Jesus' name, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you stretch out your hand and you reach out to these people. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that they no longer have to live under the cloud of condemnation. There is now no condemnation for anyone who's in Christ. Spirit of God, go out and just minister to them. Touch the people. Touch the people. The blood of Jesus washes them clean. Give them a clean conscience that they can come before you through the Holy Spirit. No more condemnation, but they can live a life anew, afresh, a life of victory in you. I just bless them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, do your work. Set us free to live life that is truly life. No longer under condemnation, but freedom in Christ, O Lord. As every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Some of you here, the truth about you is that you have this struggle. The Bible says that the Spirit of God longs to guide us. We have a choice to live under the guidance of the flesh or in accordance to the Spirit of God. And you need to come to a place. Some of you here, you know that God has spoken to you. You need to come to a place where you surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. I will follow you, Holy Spirit. Guide me. Speak to me. I will follow. And as I take a step to follow your guidance, you will also empower me to walk accordance to your ways. If this is you, can I invite you right now, wherever you are, you're watching me, either in your house, in your living room, in your bedroom, in your washroom, either you're watching me in the schools, on your own, if it's possible, I'd like to lift up my hands right now. Would you just lift up your hands? Would you just pray in the Spirit together with me right now? Just pray together with me in the Spirit. Would you just pray? Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, go. And minister to the people. Lord, we long for your guidance. We long for your empowerment. We confess that we are weak. We are unable to walk accordance to your way with our own strength, with our own wisdom. And we ask right now, humbly, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your empowerment. Lord, as we continually walk in the Spirit, and as we continually live in this consistent awareness of the presence of God in our life, God, the Holy Spirit, is closer than we imagine. I just ask right now, in the name of Jesus, just minister to your people. Touch us so that we can live our life anew, afresh, victoriously in you, O God. We love you, God, and we honor you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a group of you here. The truth about you is that you have yet to come to a place where you ask Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. I want to first and foremost let you know that God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to come to earth to live a sinless life. And then at the age of 33 and a half, He went to the cross. He died and paid for all our sins. And God tells us that anyone who confesses with our mouth and believes in our hearts that Jesus did that for us, we can now live a new life in Him. A purposeful, a victorious, a new, a fresh life in Him. You may have been to church. You may even have a Christian name. Your parents may be Christian. Your children may be Christian. Your boyfriend, girlfriend may be Christian. But the fact of the matter is that you have never, ever come to a place where you personally invite Jesus to come into your life. If this is you, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. To pray to Jesus, to invite Him into your life so that you can have a clean standing before God. If this is you, can I invite you right now to just close your eyes and bow your heads? Would you pray this prayer together with me? This prayer is a prayer where we invite Jesus to come into our life. Would you pray me? Say, Dear Jesus. You pray, say, Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. See you soon.